Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Also, every weekday at noon on AM 870. We're always online at WKAR.org. The U.S. Department of Justice has announced the early release of 6,000 prison inmates who have served lengthy sentences for drug crimes. What will become of them once they're out a few weeks from now? Well, a program in Jackson on Saturday may hint at what awaits them when they're freed. Current State Scott Pohl is here with more. Tell us about Bridges to Justice this weekend, Scott.
Well, Mark, you know, prison has been a part of Jackson's story since the Michigan State Prison opened there in 1839. On Saturday, the Jackson Area Civil Rights Awareness Association will conduct workshops on parole readiness and advocating for legislative action. Former inmates will be there to talk about their experiences both in and out of prison. I talked with the association's Christine Peterson and also with Hakeem Crampton, who spent time in prison in Wisconsin.
At the age of 12 years old, a juvenile, I got arrested for an assault at school. That led to me being into the juvenile system. I did juvenile time, put on probation, violated the probation, got locked back up, got out, violated the probation, got locked back up. This continued on until I became an adult. And once I became an adult, I was essentially doomed to the system. By the time I was 18, I was arrested in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for a homicide charge that I had absolutely no involvement in. But because I had a criminal record, because it was something I was likely to be involved in, the Milwaukee Police Department decided to do a probe to see if we knew anything about the murder that happened in our neighborhood. So they began to play an interrogation game, accusing myself of confessing to the crime to others. They then told me that others that had been arrested with me also confessed to the crime, whereas none of us really confessed to the crime at all until enough of this had taken place over a 6-7 day period in which a gentleman by the name of Mark Henry believed that I confessed to the crime, and he ultimately confessed and pled guilty and testified against myself and my co-defendant Joe Robinson, and we were stuck in prison. A place where I was likely to be at anyway. It just so happened that I happened to be in prison for a crime I didn't commit, which there's thousands and thousands of people in prison for crimes they didn't commit every day.
And this was in the state of Wisconsin?
This is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 1991. I was arrested November 6th of 1991.
How much time did you do?
I did 15 years. I was sentenced to 45 years. I was found guilty of first-degree reckless homicide. Sentenced to 45 years. It took me a long time to gain the type of support I needed to get from the legal community to fight on my behalf. And Reuben Hurricane Carter, recently deceased, fought for his own innocence, won his release, became a champion of innocent people like myself. His organization heard of my case, picked my case up, handed it over to the Wisconsin Innocence Project under Keith Finley, and they took it and took it to the Wisconsin parole chairman. And said, hey, you know, we know you're not the courts. We know you can't overturn this man's conviction, but you do have someone in your system that is innocent, and we'd like you to consider parole. And that's what he did. He considered parole and let me out after 15 years.
So it was a matter of parole as opposed to exoneration.
Absolutely.
Correct. And when was this?
This was in 2006.
What did you do after that?
Immediately, I went to the schools. I went to the juvenile homes and began sharing my story. Shared it with kids about what had happened to me, the fact that not only could something what happened to me happen to you, but aside from me being innocent, just the normal facets of life that affected me could happen to them as well. And they could find themselves in the system, whether guilty or not guilty.
And you moved back to Jackson when?
Yeah, I came back to Jackson immediately. The upon my release, I came straight back to Jackson, right on the highway, straight from Wisconsin prison, right to Jackson, Michigan.
So is this a living for you now?
Absolutely, it is. It is. I make a living telling my story to essentially. I've been around the country. I've been on several different tours. I do spoken word poetry, and I share my story through poetry, through my pain and through my suffering. I share that openly in poetry about what happened to me legally.
We're talking with Christine Peterson of the Jackson Area Civil Rights Awareness Association and Hakeem Crampton. On Saturday, October 10th, they'll be hosting a program called Bridges to Justice, Mass Incarceration Causes, Costs, and Reforms in Jackson. Hakeem, you've been involved in both the juvenile system and the adult system then. Did the juvenile system fail you, would you say?
Absolutely.
Or did you fail it?
It's a double-edged sword. It's definitely a dichotomy. The juvenile system did not have sufficient programming in place for an individual like myself and like many of the children that are in the system now. The system applies programming that is not geared specifically, culturally, and relevantly to the lives of the young people that are affected by crime that brought them into contact with juvenile custody. And so their treatment methods are really academically inspired. They're logistical and they're not practical. And so from that point of view, the juvenile justice system did fail me. It essentially warehoused me. There was never a moment when I was pulled out of my room and said, hey, you know, do you know what you did? Let's process this together and figure out where your life's going to go. That never happened.
What would you change about the juvenile system and the adult system? If you had the ear of Governor Snyder today, mm-hmm. what would you say should be changed?
What should be changed first and foremost is this. The system has to begin listening to people that's been in the system, that have survived the system. People like myself, I consider myself to be a person with a remedy to the crisis of incarceration, to the crisis of criminality. I consider myself to be a solution to that. And it's going to take the governor, this state, to listen to people like myself that spent years in prison studying books, basically taking a crash course doctorate's degree, and you know, without the paper, without the degree, essentially. And we've learned a lot of information, and we're capable of applying that information in a powerful way if we're given that chance. And instead, we're given that box of a felon, and we're not even able to be employed when we get out, let alone apply some of these remedies and solutions to the crisis of incarceration.
Christine Peterson, how typical would you say Hakeem's story is?
We hear a lot of these stories, and in fact, that's what got us involved in this project, is because the Jackson Civil Rights Awareness Association meets weekly to talk about civil rights issues, and we've had felons, returned citizens, come to our group and tell their stories, and that's what hooked us.
You just used the phrase returned citizen. I promised you that we would bring that up. That's an alternative as opposed to, say, parolee or former prisoner, former inmate sorts of language. Can you explain why you think returned citizen is a phrase that the rest of us should start getting used to using?
I use it because I was told that was a respectful term. To me, it's returned citizens, you're citizens. And you're returning to us, and it's our obligation as a community to make that a welcome and to help you reintegrate into the community that you want to live and work in. Most of the felons, the returned citizens that we've come in contact with, are serving the community, but they're blocked out of the schools, for example, because there's a rule that you can't have a felony and work with kids. But these people are going to the streets and working with kids where the kids are. And they're doing amazing things. And we just celebrate these lives that have reconstructed themselves with very little help, and we want to change that.
You must encounter returned citizens who have not had as much success as Hakeem has had at forging a living in the years after prison. Can you explain to me some of the particular problems people like that encounter and what sorts of solutions to those problems you might suggest?
Hakeem is making a living in this service as a sense that that's the spirit of his life. He's not making a financial living.
There are so many barriers, for one, for being a convicted felon. You're barred from housing, barred from employment, and there's other discriminatory social practices that take place just by being a felon. And for me, what allowed me to have a measure of transitional success is the fact that I planned and prepared for my release. One of the things that doesn't take place in prisons is prisoners aren't properly prepared and educated for their release. That usually takes place at the end of a person's incarceration. Prior to them just getting released, the system says, well, you're about to get released, we're going to transition you. That, to me, is a fundamental failure, because you need to begin starting the process of transition the moment you walk in the door. I don't care if you're sentenced to 50 years in prison. If you're going to get out in 30 years, then you need to begin that process now, because it takes place within, not just academically on a paper where you prepare and plan.
Christine, I wanted to ask you about bringing in people to programs like this one coming up in Jackson who have never met someone who was in prison, has no idea how to deal with them, maybe is afraid of them. What's your message to people who might have an interest in dipping their toe into these waters?
One of the things we're going to do during registration is having some returned citizens mill around and welcome people. We have a table that they're going to man that will tell their stories. And at lunch, we're going to, Teaching Tolerance has this mix it up at lunch. We're going to mix it up at lunch and give people table assignments. So there's a returned citizen at each table, and we're going to have some conversation cards so people can engage in conversations. We did a project I called 10-10 because we had 10 felons and 10 middle-class church people. And spent the day together having these conversations, and it was very successful in terms of people had built relationships and still have them today and still talk to each other. That's the most important thing.
Hakeem Crampton of Jackson, I want to thank you for sharing your story with us. Good luck.
Thank you.
We've also been talking with Christine Peterson of the Jackson Area Civil Rights Awareness Association. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
On Saturday, October 10th, they'll be running a program called Bridges to Justice, Mass Incarceration Causes, Costs, and Reforms at St. John's UCC Church on South Mechanic Street in Jackson from 9 to 3 p.m. For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl. For sinking me in debt. I can't fault their mighty muscles for the pounding and